Thank you for choosing Dwelling Place City Church Podcast.
We think are little and how big our God really is. All right, listen, so today I've had a message that I've been kind of working on, worked on a lot more yesterday, and it's changed a few times. But you know, the basis of it is dreamer's dream. How many have a dream? How many have a plan, something you foresee in your future, something you want to do, something you want to have, something you want to be? You know, God has put a purpose. God has put this thing in our life where whether you're a Christian or not, we all strive to do something better, to do something greater. In Jeremiah, it says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." You know, sometimes your dream may be absolutely impossible. But have you ever noticed that a lot of the stories in the Bible, which, by the way, as a reminder, they're not just stories, they were real life. But how many know it's easy to read back and hear about the Red Sea parting or Jericho's walls falling, all of these things that happen and go, wow, look at everything God did. But do you think in the moment that Joshua stood below Jericho thinking that the walls were really going to fall? Or Moses stood in front of the Red Sea waiting for the waters to part? I mean, it doesn't say in there that God had told them exactly what was going to happen. He just told Moses, put out your staff and see what I'm going to do. Or he told Joshua, just march around 7 times. Be quiet, 6 of them. Can you imagine that? All of Israelites being quiet because they murmured the whole time, I could imagine, but I'm sure that's a whole other sermon. But can you imagine Joshua stood below Jericho not knowing what God was going to do, just knowing who his God was? And I don't know about you, but you know, we all have different dreams. Some of you may have a dream to be the first to go through college, to raise your family, to have grandkids, to be an entrepreneur, to start a business, to keep a business, to be a teacher, a professor, to retire, to be in ministry, whatever it is. We all have something that we're constantly striving to attain to. And a lot of times when you meet people that say that they feel lost, it can be because they don't have that sense. They don't know what they're looking for. They don't know how to find what they're looking for. They don't know where they're going until they get pointed and directed on the path of Jesus. Amen? Amen. And I've told this before, but you know, my parents, when we were growing up, you know, as a pastor's kid, we didn't have a lot of money. I didn't know that as a kid. And somebody gave my parents money to send us to a Christian school, which is a shameless plug here. We have a Christian school if you're looking for one. It's really good. Teachers start tomorrow, 19th. All right, I'll move on. So we went to a Christian school for a lot of years, and around, I don't know, I was maybe 7 years old, 6 or 7, maybe second or third grade, and I remember chapel on a Wednesday morning, and this morning, this chapel was all about missionaries. It was a Baptist church, and so, you know, as you know, Baptists support missionaries all the way around the world, and so this group of missionaries came in, and they were from Africa, and they told these stories that were amazing about these kids that got healed and kids that learned about Jesus. They'd never heard of Jesus. I couldn't believe nobody had ever heard of Jesus. You know, I grew up in church. Everybody knows Jesus at church, I thought. And so so these missionaries came, and I was so excited, and I was really into their stories. I was enthralled with their stories. And at the end, they had an altar call and said, anybody that wants to be a missionary, come forward. And so I went down, you know, I don't think I went running down, I was pretty shy. But I remember going down and thinking, wow, how cool would it be to be a missionary to Africa someday? I mean, I thought it was cool, their stories were amazing, all the things that God was doing. And so I went down and, you know, as a kid, you know, if I ask my youngest daughter what she wants to be when she grows up, sometimes it's a chef. When you ask her what she wants to make, it's pancakes. Sometimes it's a veterinarian, but she doesn't want to deal with hurt animals, so I don't know how that's going to work. She's got all these different things, and I remember as a kid, after that moment, that people would say, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I want to be a missionary. And I just thought every missionary went to Africa. I didn't know. I guess they all go to Africa. That's all I knew. So as I got older, you know, that's what I want to be. I want to be a missionary. So the next year, I was in fourth grade, Miss Holiday. And I think I have an amazing photo. I'm the cute one with blonde hair and the Dorothy Hamill haircut there on the right. It wasn't my fault. My mom did that. She tried to layer my hair, right, Robin? Don't let my mom cut your hair. All right, so Miss Holliday, she was an amazing teacher. She's in heaven now, so she's actually dancing with Jesus. I know it because she wouldn't have done it here on earth. And I remember we came back, and one of our first assignments in class in fourth grade was that we had to write a paper on what we want to be when we grow up. And I was so excited because I knew from the year before, well, I was going to be a missionary to Africa. So I spent my time, and I wrote this paper, and, you know, as only a fourth grader can do, and I handed it in, and I was excited. You know, she's going to know I'm going to be a missionary someday. So a couple days later, we get our papers back, and on the top right-hand corner of my paper, in big red pen, a big F. And I was like, what? What did I do? I'm sure I did a ton of things wrong, but gosh, this is what I... And I remember her saying, listen, you were supposed to write the paper on something that you're going to do. You're supposed to write the paper on something that's pretty much, in my words, what she said, you have to do something that's attainable. This is unrealistic, is basically her words to me. And I thought, wow, maybe she's right. Not everybody can go to Africa. Maybe she's right. Maybe this one's just too big. And so it you know, didn't deter me completely, but I do remember thinking, wow, I can't believe, okay, I guess that's not for everyone. I don't know what I'm going to do. But then, if you don't know me very well, one of the things that you'll figure out is I can sometimes be a little stubborn. A little bit. Just a little bit. Yeah. I love you. Yeah. And I was not the smartest kid. Wasn't the brightest bulb in the pack in my class. I went to summer school, not for fun. I went because I usually flunked most of my classes. And it wasn't because I didn't study. I could study for hours and hours, and I could know it when it's in front of me, but when I went to go take a test, I would flunk. It was horrible. I felt horrible. I would be excited if I got a C and passed a class. I mean, it was amazing. It's like all of heaven rejoices when I actually get an okay grade. So I wasn't the brightest kid. However, I had that thing inside of me that I knew God had something better. And even through all of the years that I had that were not the best, thank God I have no idea what my grade, I was lucky to pass high school, that's all I gotta say. And now I'm over your school. Sorry, Principal Felix. So, I don't know. God has a way of having a sense of humor. But you know, by the time I was 14, I got connected with Teen Mania. I went on my first missions trip. And then 2 years later, I went to Russia. I was going to go with Connie one time, and I kind of got thwarted. That's a whole other story. But I did missions, and it was something that I knew, you know, this is what God has put in me. I have this drive towards this. And I believe a lot of times God gives us a dream that's impossible because, you know, Steve and I heard a preacher over our vacation that said, you know, is it faith if you can actually believe it? I don't think it is. That was kind of a wake-up call. And you know, I think dreams are that way. I think what God gives us is so much bigger than we could ever do because only God can do it. It's His plans, not ours. If it were my plan, I'd be working at an ice cream shop, right, Mr. Felix? Everybody leaves happy at an ice cream shop. I could do that one. Your dream will sustain you. So I want to read a story in Genesis 37 about Joseph. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made an ornate robe for him. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. And he said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. You think he'd listen the first time, right? "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." Now here's the thing, Joseph was the youngest son. And in Jewish terms, the youngest son is not the most well-liked. The youngest son is the one you make fun of. The youngest son is the one who gets the very least of everything the father owns. It's the firstborn that gets what the father has. It's the firstborn that gets the favor. It's the firstborn that gets the inheritance. It's not the youngest son. So the brothers kind of had a right in culture to be a little upset at Joseph because he was the most well-loved. He was the one that was honored by the father so much so that the father made him a coat to show everybody, this is my honored son. So it says that prior to him having a dream, the brothers all hated him. But then he has a dream and he says, listen, in this dream, you're all going to bow down to me. He must have been a dumb young kid, right? So it says that the brothers not only hated him, but now they hated him even more because he had this dream. So now he was loved more by his father. He was given things by his father. And now he had a dream that they were all going to be under him. And so instead of going, man, everybody hates me. Nobody likes me. Going to the garden. No, that's a song, right? Going to the garden, eat worms. Long, fat, short one. Short, no, okay. Instead of cowering away and going, but nobody believes this, what does he do? He has another dream. And in this dream, the dream says that the sky is the limit. That even the sun, the moon, and the stars are going to bow down to him. Even everything above him is going to bow down. And it says later on in the story that even the father went back and said, what are you doing? So even the father who had favor on Joseph's life at one point said, this dream is way too big. You're saying that even the sun, the moon, and the stars are going to bow down to you? It's too much. And you wonder why people hate you. But how many know that even after his second dream, if you know the story, at one point it says in Genesis 37:19, the brothers said, here comes the dreamer. He was known as the dreamer. Are you known as a dreamer? Are you known as somebody who tries to attain things that are impossible? Because we serve an impossible God. Amen. Maybe your dreams aren't big enough. Maybe if you want to start one little store, it's attainable. You can have faith for it. But is it faith? Because you can attain it. So we build this church and this community and we go, wow, $2 million, we're going to pay it off. It's impossible. Have you looked at your wallet? I looked at mine. It's impossible. But when I add faith to it, I go, man, it is so possible because I don't have it, which means God's got to make it happen. We have a school for kids. I have a ton of space for kids. I don't know how it's going to happen this year, which is amazing because it means it's going to happen. It's impossible. If I could do it, then my dreams aren't big enough. If I could obtain it, then the sky isn't the limit. If I could do it and nobody comes against me, is it God? If you don't believe it would come to pass, you would walk away. Now think about this. If the brothers didn't believe that the dreams were true, wouldn't they just have ignored it? But yet it says when Joseph comes, they say, here comes the dreamer. And it says they start to plan. They get a plan and they devise a plan. Because they knew it was impossible, and yet it was possible. It was going to happen. Had they not believed any part of it, they would have just ignored it. But the other thing that Joseph didn't realize was that in order for the dream to happen, he was going to have to be sold into slavery. He would have to be sent to a whole other land, away from his father, away from his family, away from everything he knew in order to make the dream happen. Now imagine if the brothers didn't believe it. Imagine if they just kind of blew it off. Think of all of the history that followed behind Joseph that wouldn't have happened. He wouldn't have been sent to Egypt in the middle of a famine. His family wouldn't have been saved years later. And when his family was saved, the Israelites came to Egypt. That's how they ended up in Egypt many, many, many years later when Moses was sent in a basket. He freed the slaves. That's why they were in Egypt, because of Joseph was sent them into a land of plenty at the time. Had he not done all of that, had he not said, but this is the dream I have, it's unattainable, so it must be God. Had he not done that, what would have happened? I don't know. Sometimes you have to fight for your dream and for your purpose. If God's telling you you need to fight for something, how many know all the verses that say, in the fire, I'm going to be with you? Yes. Right? In the flood, I'm going to be with you. Yes. When you're down and out, I'm going to be with you. If there was no reason to give up, would we keep fighting? What are we fighting against? We're fighting against the impossible. We're fighting against those that say, no, you can't do that. God can't. Why would God do that? Why would God use you? I used to stutter. Why would God use me? It's funny. God's got a sense of humor. I love it. I don't get it. Doesn't matter. Years and years ago, my parents came to the valley. They worked with Melodyland. And they were with a juvenile center out off the Saboba Reservation. Some of you may know this story, and fill in the spots if you want later. But they worked at a juvenile facility, and out of that, they started a Bible study, which started a church. And eventually, they left that, and they started an actual church in a little dentist shop, I believe, over by the mall somewhere. And then it grew into a little house off of Columbia, and then from there into the little white church down the street. And then they bought the dairy. And you know, in the early 80s, one of the things my parents did is they made a commitment to the valley. And part of that commitment was to show everybody, listen, we're not going anywhere. We believe God is going to change this valley. We still believe God is changing this valley. Amen. I don't care what Facebook says or the news or anybody else. And so what they did to prove their point was they went down to the local cemetery and they bought a cemetery plot. True story. They bought a cemetery plot and they said, you know what? We're not going anywhere, so much so that we will be buried here in this town. And they made a commitment. Fast forward many years later, and my older sister, I'm the good-looking one. She's the older one. She's not here, so I could say that. If you're watching by live feed, I don't know what to tell you. So, my older sister, she's married. She marries Brent Anderson. He's the worship leader. And I get married. I marry Chris Hales, and he's the son of my dad's secretary and the church administrator. And we're both married, living our lives. I'm a newlywed. And Brent and Sharon have a little girl, and she's pregnant, and she's going to have a little boy. So in November comes, 1996, and prior to that, in 1997, my dad had written a book, or in 1996, he wrote a book that was going to come out in a couple months. But November of 96, my sister has a baby boy named Benjamin. And a couple hours after he was born, he passed away. And it was very, very difficult, obviously, for everybody, especially for them. But one of the things that happened was he was buried in my parents' cemetery plot. So if you go down to the local cemetery, there's Benjamin Anderson, November 1996. And it was rough. And we had this, you know, the church is growing. The church is moving. Things are happening. God is doing all sorts of amazing things. Spiritual warfare is a huge thing in town in the 90s. You know, that's a big thing for charismatics. And God's doing all sorts of stuff. And this happens. You know, I'm newly married, and she has a little girl, and now has a little boy that she has buried in my dad's cemetery plot. So we come back to church, and we get through the holidays, and 1997 happens, January 1st. And my husband, prior to us getting married, had cancer. He had lymphoma. And he had gone through treatments. He'd gone through chemo and radiation. He was at City Hope, and they did a bone marrow transplant, and he was in remission, but if you've ever been through stuff like that or known about it, it's a long road through remission. And so during Christmas in 1996, just a few weeks later after Brent and Sharon's little boy, he just caught a common cold. Nothing out of the ordinary, nothing none of us have ever not gotten. And however, for a recovering cancer patient, that can be really bad. And so January 1st, I finally talk him into going to the hospital, and we thought, you know, we'll get him antibiotics, maybe a breathing treatment. However, 6 weeks later, I'm walking out of City of Hope with a small white bag of belongings, and my husband had died. And we stood around while we watched his heart rate drop, and I walked out a 21-year-old widow after 5 months of marriage. So here, my sister has lost her son, and, you know, the church, you know, as a church, we're family, so the church is going through this. I mean, it's just a really hard time, and it's really difficult. And I eventually lost my house. We had a new puppy. I gave the puppy back to where I got it from, and lost cars. Worst part is I had to move back home with my parents. But life was just not how it was supposed to be. This was not in the plans. This wasn't in the dream. This wasn't in the future. This wasn't in what I saw for things down the road. And it kind of put a halt on things. And so years go by, and it's difficult. You know, Brent and Sharon have another little girl, beautiful little girl named Jessica. So now they have two little girls. And, you know, I'm repairing things. I'm kind of shoring things up. I'm still young, but it's, you know, disorienting. If you've ever been through anything like that, it's a life change for sure. And so I start out of a couple years. I'm working at the church now. And one of the things that's happening is God's still moving in the congregation. The church is exploding. And actually, we start to build this sanctuary that you're sitting in right now. We used to be over in the kids' church. If you haven't been over there, you got to go take a look, because it's a huge perspective of where we were and where we are now. God's definitely blessed us as a congregation. And so 1999 comes. It's December, and we're building the sanctuary. And one of the things that's happening is we're getting ready to pour the slab. It's a big deal. It was huge. We had so many workers. People came out at 4 in the morning. I mean, it was a ton of people, a ton of work, and we were pouring the cement. But prior to that, I remember the day before, I had overheard my dad saying, yeah, I'm going to bury like a Bible in the ground. You know, the people came in eventually, and we all wrote on the walls. You know, there's scripture on the concrete if you pull up the flooring. There's all sorts of stuff around here. And so one of the things he wanted to do was to bury a tube underneath where the platform was, which would be about right here, because this didn't used to be here. It was just steps, you know, like the old 80s thing. You got to walk up the big steps. And so he was going to bury this, the Bible and some other belongings. And so I went home, and, you know, not that I hadn't gotten past things. I'm not sure that's something you get past. I think that's something you go through. And so I just felt like God was saying, I need you to take a step beyond this. I need you to do something different. And so I gathered all my jewelry. I gathered all my wedding band and his wedding band and the jewelry we'd gotten that he'd gotten me for our marriage and courtship. And I put it in a little bag, and I wrapped it up, and I went to my dad the morning of, and I said, listen, I heard you saying you're going to bury some stuff, and I know it sounds kind of weird, but I want to add this to it. I just feel like this is what I need to do. And I don't know that I gave much of an explanation. I don't know that I had much of an explanation. It was just, I knew it was something I needed to do. It was a step beyond where I needed to be. And so he put it in, and so it's actually somewhere, I guess somewhere right around here. I don't know where, in here. And under where the pulpit was. And it was my way of telling God, listen, the season's over. This isn't my dream. My dream is bigger than this. My dream is impossible, and this right here is possible. So I don't want to live here. I have to move forward. And it was hard. It was really rough watching everybody pour this cement, knowing that I will never see it again. However, I knew, and I've learned to grow and understand years later, that it's one of those things that's more spiritual than it is physical. Yes. You ever made a decision that you know is physical, but in the spiritual realm, things just change? Yes. And it was one of those. And actually, I was telling Steve, you know, I won't say it today, but, you know, God has a way of, at least in my life, he's redeemed a lot of dates that would have been very hurtful. You know, my daughter was born on January 1st, and my husband went in the hospital January 1st, and my other daughter was born on my wedding anniversary, and just God has a way of all the hurtful dates, all the memories that would have been hard, God's redeemed and made amazing. And actually, one of them was, Steve and I started dating. I didn't realize till yesterday when I looked at dates. It's another date. The day that I decided to put those things in the ground was the day a year later that we started dating and then got married. And, when we got ordained a few weeks ago, it was on our wedding anniversary. It wasn't planned. It was just kind of, God does that. God has a way of doing that. Amen. So my next one is speak your dreams. Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. Amen. I believe that there's a generation coming, and I don't believe that excludes all of us who aren't in the new generation. I believe we're part of this that's coming, is that we're going to be a people that dreams dreams. We're going to be a people that puts hunger under our feet. We're going to be a people that changes our community. We're going to be a people that gives hope and life to those that are around us. We're going to be a people that are willing to sacrifice everything because God sacrificed everything. We're going to be a people who know that our dreams are impossible, but it's okay because God is a God of possible. Amen? And God doesn't use just natural things when he talks to us, but he uses the ability to prophesy, to dream a dream, to have a vision, to pray in the Holy Spirit, to have power over the enemy, to say to a mountain, move out of my way, and it moves. To tell a community that you're going to have life, that you're going to give life, that you're going to speak hope. And sometimes we need to learn to speak our dreams, even if people don't believe our dreams. And sometimes we need to learn to speak our dreams even when we don't believe our dreams. You ever felt like God told you something and you were like, well, that's not God? You ever laughed at God? Come on, you guys are a bunch of liars. You know you have. There's power in your dreams. You need to speak them out. God is not limited by resources, by health, by wealth. There is no limitation on God. God it just is. He's everything. You can't contain him. You can't put him in a box. You can't put a boundary around it and go, this is where God is. You can't put a limit on God and go, this is how far he'll go. You can't say he'll go this far to the left and this far to the right. No, there is no left and right. There is no up and down. God just is. And when we learn to move in the things of God, when we learn to move in what we know God's telling us in our spirit, that deep that calls unto deep, that drive that's within us, that something that says, no, you need to wake up this morning. No, don't end your life. No, don't do that. There's something better for you. How many know God has something better for you? There's something in us that says, I don't know where the limit is, but I serve the God who has no limits. He doesn't work around a time frame, especially our time frame. How many know? I know. I've told God several times, listen, I have a really good time limit here. Let's do it. Right, Reggie? Now is the best time. No, ironically. There's no limit on what God can and what God will do. Psalms 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold. Can you imagine living a life knowing that God is not going to hold anything back from you? I'll keep moving. Isaiah 55, 8-9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Think about it. Whatever your thing is that you're trying to obtain, whatever that goal is, whatever that business is, the college degree, the family, the house you want to buy, whatever that is, he says his ways are so much higher. You're not thinking big enough. You know, we keep saying we're gonna pay off the church loan. How about pay off the church loan and buy the property around us and build more? Yes. and pray more into our community and give more into our community. It shouldn't stop at just the church loan, because what happens when the loan gets to zero? What's the vision? Where's the plan? We need to know what's before us. But you know what? Sometimes, like Moses, just hold out the staff and I'm going to move. But God, how are you going to just hold out the staff? God, I've been marching for 6 days. What now? Just keep marching. Keep marching. Keep going. Quit mumbling. I don't want to hear your voice. Just keep moving. God, it's the seventh day. We're almost all the way. Just keep going. God, if only you knew, 10 more steps. Just keep going. I promise. I made your promise I would do something. I didn't have to tell you what it was. My last point, you can get what you want, but lose what you need. I stole that from somebody. I just want to say I'm all about plagiarizing. All about plagiarizing. In the midst of walking out your life, walking towards your dream, the purpose that God has placed in you, it's possible to get what you want and lose what you need. In the middle of walking through my circumstances, we all have a story. We all have a testimony. You've been somewhere I haven't been. But in the middle of walking through life and getting towards what God has for you, you could miss God. You could get all the way to buying your business, getting your degree, having your family, the dream house, changing a community, and you could lose God in the middle of it. If you don't come out on the other side knowing more of who God is, then it was just a plan. I've made a ton of mistakes. We've all made a ton of mistakes. But I can tell you, having walked through grief a couple times, and a big one of the biggest things that was a life changer was the day that I said, enough is enough. I can't live here. I can't camp here. I can't be a widow forever. It's not my label. So you were an alcoholic once. It's not your label. So you were a drug addict. It's not your label. You were homeless. Maybe you have an anger issue. That's not your label. Who are you? What have you found? What have you found in your journey with Christ? Are you that Moses that can stand out and have true faith, holding the staff out going, God, I know you said to do this. I don't know why. I look like a fool right now. I mean, imagine millions of Israelites behind them. They can't go anywhere else. They're hearing the horses come up behind them, and their leader stands on the edge of a cliff holding the staff. You can't tell me you wouldn't argue. Moses, what are you doing? They're coming. They're on. No, God said, put out your staff. God said, move forward. You can't tell me Moses didn't have doubts. But you can't tell me that when the water started to part, he didn't go, wait a minute. This wasn't in the plan. We're supposed to go that way? How many people you think walked by and ran their hand through the water? Is this really real? I don't know that I would have had a, I don't know that I could have done that. God, look at the whale. Sorry, I'm visionary. I just see it all, this fishbowl. What are you standing in front of? Unless you can stand in front of something and it brings you to your knees, worshiping God, going, God, I can't do this without you. And even if I could, and even when you bring to pass what you promised in my life, I'm willing to give all of it up just to know you. Do you have that kind of relationship? Are you a God follower who follows God because he's taking you into promises? Or are you a God follower who's following God because he's the only one you need, and that's where he's going? If he were to go somewhere else, would you go with him? If what he showed you wasn't going to come to pass, would you still follow him? When everything is stripped away, is God still there? Because really, that's what it comes down to. We all want the dream. We all want the big to-do, the grand testimony. Look what God did in my life. But what if God said, just live a simple life and worship me. Just live a simple life and know me. Tell others about me. You have people that you can affect that I can't affect with a microphone. You have people that are neighbors to you that I will never meet. People at doctor's offices. People at the car wash. People at your work. People when you take a walk. People at the gym. All these random things that we do in life, we think we're doing them because this is what I need to do today. This is what I have planned. Okay, is God in those plans? So when you go to the car wash, which my car needs to go there if somebody wants to take it. When you go to the car wash, who are you there for? Who is there that needs ministering to you? We were at the hotel, and we got this hotel that has, we've got two kids. They want to swim. They want to have fun. And we get this hotel that has a lap pool, this long, 3 foot deep, you can't jump in because, your legs will go up to your chin type of thing. And so we're sitting in the hot tub one night, and this guy comes in. It's late, like 9 o'clock, and this guy sits down in the hot tub, and I love my husband. I always say Steve can make a wall talk. He uses all my words every day. I love that about him. He can make anybody talk. And so we start talking to this guy, and we start going back and forth, and we were talking like Christians at first, like, oh yeah, we came from this conference, and you could tell this guy was kind of like, yeah, God's pretty cool, And Steve's like, yeah, we heard Jensen Franklin tonight. He was so, you know who that is? And the guy's like, no, I have no idea. But the longer we talked, it was a God conversation. I mean, we didn't pray with the guy to get saved, but I can guarantee you he walked away going, huh, well, that was different. I mean, he saw a different side of God. Do people around you see a different side to God? Are you bringing Jesus? Are you bringing your relationship? Does it take over everything you are? I remember as a kid, my first job was at Der Wiener Schnitzel. I served hot dogs. I can make hot dogs like nobody, man. I can roll them and everything. And I was 14. And the guy who owned Wiener Schnitzel was a Mormon. He was all about missions because that was my missions years. So he was like, oh, yeah, you can take 2 weeks off. Yeah, missions is good. They're Mormons. I was a woman, so it was a little weird, but I remember, I was the odd kid. I was the odd kid. I didn't really fit in. I wasn't really a concert kid. I didn't like doing that kind of stuff. I was just different. I was cool, though, in my own way. Just want to put that out there. I was cool in my own way. May have come across a little nerdy, but I was a dumb nerd, so it... All right, what do you do with that? So, but at a young age, I'd seen God do so much in everybody's life, and I wanted that so bad. God, how come I can't have some of that? Like, there were people that you just knew they had something different. Like, they didn't just talk about Jesus. It was like they knew him. Like, there was something different. And I remember several times I would go in and I'd be on my 30-minute break or my 10-minute break, and I'd go into the bathroom, and they had, like, the single bathroom. You shut the door, you're the only one in there. And I remember several times just getting on the floor and going, God, I just want God. God, even here, whoever you're going to put in my path. And even as a 14-year-old, I didn't understand it all. And, sometimes that's the best kind, when you don't have the religion to box you in, to tell you, no, don't do it that way. Gosh, don't pray too loud. Don't pray in tongues. Don't do this. Don't do that. I didn't understand all of that. And I don't say that boastful because I made a ton of mistakes. But I say it where is that draw that you have? Is it just for the dream? Is it just for the end all? Because you can get there and have it all, but not have what you need. So I'd encourage you today, what is your relationship like? Dream really big. If you know what your dream should look like, it's not big enough. Dream higher. Dream bigger. Dream wider. Dream louder. But in the middle of all of it, don't lose God. Because he can bless you. How many know? How many have seen people get blessed financially? Or they're looking for a job. Oh, I need a job. I got to pay these bills. They get this job that's 7 days a week. They never end up coming to church. And eventually, they don't read their Bible. They don't get connected with fellowship. They don't learn more about Jesus. You can. Those can be seasons. I'm not going to be religious and tell you you can't work on a Sunday. You can work on a Sunday. Because every single one of you is going to leave and go to the gas station, right? You're going to go out to eat. Right. These are all people that are working.
That's right.
Can't get religious. But are you losing God in the middle of what you want? Are you losing God in the middle of your blessing? Think about when they went to Canaan land, to the promised land. They walked in as spies. You know, and Moses says, go look at the promise. Tell me what it looks like. Half of them, most of them, lost God in the middle of it. Caleb and the others came out and were like, it's so big. These grapes are huge. They're carrying them on their shoulders. Can you imagine? They found God in the middle of it. So maybe you're somebody that your dream isn't big enough. Dream bigger. Dream louder. Dream higher. Dream the absolute impossible. Because I promise, when God's in it, he'll make the impossible happen. This is what Paul says in Philippians. But whatever I used to count as my greatest accomplishments, I've written them off as a loss because of the Anointed One. And more so, I now realize that all I gained and thought was important was nothing but yesterday's garbage compared to knowing the Anointed Jesus, my Lord. For him, I have thrown everything aside. It's nothing but a pile of waste so that I may gain him. And when it counts, I want to be found belonging to him, not clinging to my own righteousness based on law, but actively relying on the faithfulness of the Anointed One. This is true righteousness supplied by God and acquired by faith. I want to know him inside and out. I want to experience the power of his resurrection and join in his suffering, shaped by his death, so that I may arrive safely at the resurrection from the dead. Paul, who wrote majority of the New Testament, who probably has no idea at this time that he's writing this how much of an influence he'll be on the body of Christ. But yet he says, in everything, I'd give it all up. Because if I don't know Jesus, none of it matters. So I encourage you today, dream bigger, but don't lose God. And when you leave here today, you know, think of those things. I hope this week that you're just flooded. Every time you get a moment to think about it, I hope that God comes to you and goes, it's not big enough. It's not loud enough. But I hope and I pray and I believe that God's presence will be so strong on you that you will know that God has something for you to attain, but you're willing to give it all away if God will just be there. Let us be a church and let us be a community that's willing to work together. You know, I pulled the vision from years ago that was written out, and I didn't bring it. I wasn't going to talk about it. But, you know, one of the main things, the vision from the late 70s, early 80s, was to reach a 30-mile radius. This is our mission field. God, I was called to be a missionary, and here I am. Let me be in the mission field every single day. This is our community. We need to take back our community for Christ. We need to share what we know about Christ. It's not about knocking on doors and inviting them to church. It's inviting them to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether or not they ever walk through these doors, when you walk out, you're taking him with you. So I pray this week that you encounter people that need God more than you do. I pray this week that people come up to you and say, what's so different about you? Why are you so excited? Why are you so happy? How come I know you're having a hard time financially or health-wise or whatever it is at jobs or anything else, but why are you always so positive? And I hope, I pray that God opens those doors that you can say, above and beyond, the sky is the limit. Let me share my Jesus with you. Let me tell you why I can't live without him. I don't know how people do it that don't know Jesus. I have no idea. I never thought about ending my life when I was younger, but I can tell you I've been to the bottom of despair. And I can't imagine life without Jesus. And there was a point where I thought, okay, either God's real or this is all just a bunch of you know what. And it wasn't just a moment I thought it. It was a long few moments that I thought, this is never going to change. This will never change. It wasn't until I said, it's not going to change as long as I'm sitting here. And I had to stand up in faith and go, there has to be something more. And if there's not, I'll figure it out when I stand up. Either God's going to be there when I stand up or he's not. Not realizing God was with me the whole time anyway. So listen, would you just stand on up. We're just going to pray, and I'm going to believe that as we leave today, God's going to make those encounters for you as soon as you walk out the door. So Father, we come before you. I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this week that you've given us, this clean slate that you've given us. I pray for open doors. Father, I pray every place they set their foot is taking back our community. Father, everything that they do with their hands is taking back our community. Father, I pray that those dreams that they have aren't big enough. I pray the sky is the limit. They go above and beyond. Lord, I pray your presence in every single situation. Lord, I thank you for your presence. Lord, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. Nothing I have, nothing we have as a church, nothing I could ever gain will ever compare to who you are. Lord, I pray your presence, your Holy Spirit on every single one of us as we walk out. I don't care if you're here and you came depressed. I'm telling you, God has the power to break it all. If you came an addict, God is the one who will break it all. If you came and life has just been mundane day after day, you get up, you go to work, you get up, you do this, you get up, you go here, you come home. Tomorrow's just another Monday. Lord, I pray hope. You know that word hope means that you hop. It comes from the word hop. It means to hop into something, to take a leap, to jump without knowing. God, I pray hope over all of our circumstances. And Lord, I thank you tomorrow is going to be a different day. Today is a different day. But Lord, I thank you tomorrow. Lord, I pray breakthrough in finances, breakthrough in health, breakthrough in jobs. Father, the things that people have cried out for, Lord, we know you have our best interest at heart. But most of all, I pray your presence in every single part of it, Lord. And I thank you that as we leave here as a congregation ready to change the people around us, ready to give your presence to those around us. Let us exude everything we have to spill out to those around us, Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a good week.